at night. Many a moon coming.
Welcome to Paris Cocktail Talk, the show brought to you by 52 Martinis, a guide to the best cocktails in Paris. I'm Forrest Collins, and I'm here to talk to you about cocktailing in the French capital and bring you other boutique boozy news from France and beyond. Today we're going to talk about the fairer sex. Yes, I mean the ladies. I've kind of vacillated for a while on this topic. I started wondering if maybe I should bring it up about a year and a half ago when there was this big misogyny controversy sparked by an employees-only ad seeking, quote, badass waitresses and supervisors. Now, if you didn't hear about it at the time, you could Google it for more information, but it culminated with calls for boycotts of that particular bar and one of the owner's associated spirits companies and the eventual stepping down of one of the owners to avoid this boycott. After thinking about it for a few months, I headed down to Copper Bay, where I thought I'd talk to Aurelia about it and get her take on it. She, as a female bar owner, bartender, and somebody who's worked in the profession here for quite some time. I then sat on things for over a year, all the while thinking about it, having occasional conversations on the topic with my friend, fellow blogger, and podcaster, and producer, Emily Dilling of Perry Paysan. And finally, after the female-focused themes at this year's Cocktail Spirits, I decided to push forward and subsequently spoke with Audrey Fort of the Rooster Factory to get a French female's take on the topic from someone who has worked here in France and then continued on in the U.S. And I finished with a great chat with Ivy Mix, who's based in the U.S. and not only runs her own bar, but heads up Speed Rack, which is a women's bartending competition for charity. And she's also been giving a seminar called The F Word, which we'll talk to her more about later. Of course, I always prefer to do the interviews in person, but it's not always possible with the U.S., so please soldier on even through the sometimes shaky quality on the phone calls. So let's get to it. Here at Copper Bay, and I'm talking with Aurelie. I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell you a little bit about where she's been, what she does now.
Say hello, everyone. My name is Aurelie. I'm owner and bartender at Copper Bay in Paris. That's a bar that we opened with my two associates, Elfie and Julien, a year and a half ago. My background is kind of more classic. I used to work for hotel companies for about 9 years. Starting my career about 10 years ago for Hilton, then moving to Four Seasons George V, back to a classical of the classical Le Forum, and I've been lucky enough to open the W in Opera 3 years ago, just before we opened Copper Bay.
I'm here talking with you because I am trying to decide if we should be talking about women in bars. It's a discussion that happens. It's a discussion that happens in a lot of industries, but I think it happens a lot here. And as you know, I'm still not sure if it's a valid discussion or not. And I think you might be in agreement that if we talk about it, maybe it puts more, it gives it more validity, this idea that women aren't advancing in bars. So what are your thoughts on it?
I think I'm kind of in the same position that yours. Like, of course, there's things going bad everywhere about that, and there's a lot of discussion at the moment. I'm not pretty sure that we should keep on talking about it all the time long. Of course, it's a point that we have to talk about, but talking about it all the way, like every single day, I don't know if it's just going to help or if it's going to make it worse. So I'm kind of like between two, like, link. 10 years ago, when I started bartending, there were just, like 3-4 girls in France, like, really, really trying to work hard and make it, like, normal to have women behind the bar. And when I first arrived in Paris, there were people who told me, like, we won't take you because you're a woman. They didn't say it badly. They just said that that was like that. And and it was very hard for me to be able to know what to do. Like, I was like, okay, should I be like a man? Like, act like a man? Like, anything heavy, I was, like, running to be the first one to get it because I was like, okay, I'm going to show you that I can do it too. And then I just changed my mind because I met one of my bar chef, my first mentor, who told me that being a woman behind the bar, it's not a problem. everyone's different, everyone's got different personality, and having a woman in the team can just make it more complete. We got a different sensibility. It's sometimes easier for some people to talk to women. Some gonna maybe, but I mean, depends on the subject, but some like boys better. And it just make me change my mind. And now I think it's getting kind of like normal. There's women everywhere behind bars. They do great in like competitions. They do great in like building new brands and projects, building new places to stay. I think it's kind of a, like non-debate. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I don't really know if we like if we talk about it, there's a problem.
Now I know you did work at the Forum, and at the original location, you're the only woman bartender that worked there ever, isn't that right?
Yeah.
So did you feel like you were kind of breaking some barriers then? Because they hadn't had a woman, and they consciously hadn't had a woman until you came
on. Now they have Liz behind the bar with them.
Yes, now with their new location, I know they've got some, and they've got ladies too.
I mean, Forum was one of my dreams. I was dreaming about the Forum since I've done my like part class. And when I was at school, my teacher were like, okay, if you get the best mark, you can choose where you want to go for training. So at first I say, okay, I got the best mark, so I want to do my first like training period at the Forum and the second one at the Closerie de Lila. And my teacher was like, actually, no. And I was like, why no? And he was like, no women are allowed to work there. And I just told him, like, you told me that if I'm working hard, I can get whatever I want. I work hard, I want the Forum, and I want the Closerie. So they tried to call them, and then they say no. So I tried to call them. I tried to say, like, but I'm a good student. I get good marks. I want to work with you. I'm going to be nice. And both say no. And finally, it's just I've just been patient, maybe. And one day, Joseph called me to join the Forum, and the dream came true. But I never really thought about the fact that I was the first woman working there. I mean, to me, it was like really a dream working there because I expect that so much. It's like working in the Four Seasons was about the same.
Yeah.
When they called me to come and join the team, I was like, oh my God. Because when I arrived in Paris, most of the people, they just told me no because I was a woman. As I say, it was not in a bad way, but it was just that it was very hard for me to find a job that I will love because there were so many places saying no to women that the choice was like pretty tiny. And to be able to work in a place you're going to love, with a team you're going to love, when you get no choice, it's not very easy.
Do you think there's any difference in sort of this gender issue here in France, maybe as opposed to other countries? Like,
I don't really think so. It's just, I mean, I start by the kitchen cursus at school, and that was about the same. Like, a couple of years ago, when you were a lady, you were not really allowed to work in certain kitchens because chefs were like, no ladies in the kitchen. Or maybe only in pastry, for example. And it just takes time, and then it changed totally, and now you got a lot of grand chefs which are ladies. And same for the sommelier, for example. Most of the sommelier were like boys, and now there's a lot of ladies doing the job. I think it's all about being patient. It's just the culture that we do have a French culture and the background, and most of the guys in my family, they like a couple of chefs in my family, and it was the same for them.
Yeah.
And I told them, like, I want to be in the kitchen. They were like, no. And I was like, come on, you're in the same family, so you should say it. Like,
you should
be
supportive.
Sure,
yeah.
And no, because it took time, yeah.
Okay.
Women were on the floor and guys in the kitchen.
Yeah. As we're talking about it now, I'm thinking, for me, what could be more of an interesting discussion rather than just saying, oh, women aren't advancing, or, you know, highlighting that, is there are differences between men and women. You know, for example, I don't know if it's true or not, but I have read that, for example, on average, women have better palates. They have a better sense of smell. So, you know, maybe there's some kind of differences that are interesting and an advantage to both sexes. Do you think that do you notice something in general that maybe female bartenders are better at as opposed to male bartenders, and then the opposite, male work better in certain areas?
It's not like pretty about being like, there's not like huge difference. I think that everyone's different.
Yeah.
Point. That's it. Like, boys are different and you can work with different kind of profile, and girls it's the same. There's maybe like sensibility, which is different. And when I say sensibility, it's not about words. Mm-hmm. People sometimes they say that when you are like too empathic, it's not a good point. But in our job, actually, it's very important. But there's good and bad everywhere. I mean, to me, it's not about being a man or a woman. We are all different. So everyone brings some goods and bad in the team. And I think to have a woman in the team just make it more complex, but it's nice too.
Yeah.
I mean, and most of the bars who work with women or who get women as runners, they have a good mix of both.
Yeah.
And there's most of the women that I know in the industry, they just love to work with men better than working with women. So it's very bizarre.
Interesting.
Like, okay. Because I don't know if it's the mood or the, I don't know.
Yeah.
The way things are done, the fact that boys are sometimes more cash when they talk, whatever, but there's never like a whole team full of women.
Right.
You have to be in between, you know, you need to have a mix of everything. But there's still a lot of cliche about it, like, oh, if you hire a woman and she will be a manager, don't know, if like a weird guest came into the bar, try to, I don't know, hijack, whatever, will she be able to defend the team, or she will be able to fight? There's still a lot of point like that.
Right.
Oh, you're a woman, so one day you're going to get pregnant and you don't want to chill. You want kids? Oh, you're going to have to stop to work at the, like night shift, for example. Mm-hmm. That's something that I always heard. Like, oh, you're more than 30 now, so you're going to get children and you're going to stop working night shift. And I'm like, no. And people are like, yeah, but how are you going to manage the fact that if one day you get kids? I say, okay, it's fine. I can take care of them during the day and like my boyfriend can take care of it during the night. And people are like, no, you should like come and work day shift.
Yeah, it's counter to their ideas of what should be done. But I think you get
which
that.
It's more about the work. Yeah, it's more about the work we do, that the fact that we are women. But of course, there's things we can't change. Yeah, we do babies, guys. No, sorry about that. If we can change.
It'd be nice if you could do it instead.
That'd be nice if we can switch for a day or two, man.
Trust me, I don't necessarily want to do that part of the work.
Okay. But it's all about that. It's, a couple of cliches still turning a little bit around and you're like, okay, it's fine. Yeah, I think it's all about being patient.
Yeah.
As I told you, talking too much about the problem doesn't always make it change in a good way. So maybe we should be able to talk about it, but not like always.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Don't make a big deal of everything.
I kind of feel the same way. I feel like I don't want to turn my back on women and totally ignore the fact that there are some discussions going
on
about this.
Of course.
But, you know, and I think I told you, I thought for a long time about whether to even bring this up in the podcast. So, but it's nice. It's interesting for me to talk to other women and see. I mean, I've never personally felt like I can't do what I do in the industry as a woman, but I just sort of also do my own thing. I don't have, I don't have to answer to somebody. So it makes it maybe a little bit easier.
It's always about that. It's always about the other. It's not always about you. It's the other should trust in you and not the opposite. So it's all about that.
I think that sounds very reasonable. So I won't take up more of your time. I'm going to finish my cocktail for the listeners. They have put out their new summer cocktail menu. So if you haven't been down here, or even if you have, come on down and check out their new menu and get served by both boys and girls. And really, what's most important is really nice, talented bartenders.
Thank you very much.
Heart is blazing blue, electric fire. Want so bad, it's like I'm out of time. Want so bad, I had to break your mind. Give me your love.
Hi, so we are here with Audrey Faure, who is not only just a really amazing person, she's one of my favorite ladies in the booze and spirits industry. I know her from here in France. She's now living in the U.S., so I thought she'd be an interesting person to give her perspective on what it's like to be a woman working in the industry. So, hi, Audrey. It's great to talk to you.
Hi, Forrest. So nice to be here with you today.
Can you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, what you do, and your current project?
Oh, So for the past, well, actually 2 years ago, I quit my corporate job. I've been in the wine and spirits industry for 10 years. And before that, another 10 years in the luxury business. So basically accessories and fragrances. And 2 years ago, I decided to just fulfill my dream and be my own boss. And I partnered with Julian, who also happens to be my husband, who's a fantastic designer. And we created the Rooster Factory. We're a brand development boutique agency. So we basically focus on the drinks industry, and we help companies creating their brands, shaping up their strategy and positioning. We do a lot of packaging design, brand building, and business development. So essentially in Europe and in the US, where I've been living for the past 5 years now.
Very good. I'm really excited about your new project. I think it's pretty cool that you get to work with Julian as well. So,
no, thank you for it. Thank you.
Well, now, speaking of the industry, you know my theme for this episode is women in the industry. And I've been sort of, I've been going back and forth personally about whether or not this is a topic that I should discuss, that I should tackle. How do you feel about women in the drinks industry as a topic?
You know what? I think actually I'm just like you, you know, I'm still wondering, you know, if it's a good thing or not, you know, to talk about it, because the thing is that it's kind of, you know, when you speak about women industry, it already, you know, put us women, you know, apart as if, you know, we were different from men. And I would have the tendency to think that, you know, it's better actually to think about, to talk about the industry in general and people, you know, who help advance the industry, and just, you know, about speaking about, you know, skilled people. At the same time, you know, there is still, you know, this gender gap. And even though actually it was quite interesting. I was reading an article just, I think that was last year in the spirits business, where they were saying that, I think that was about 50% of the UK's wine and spirits industry is female. So I would say that just globally, I think, you know, that the drinks industry really reflect actually the, just the world where, you know, where women, you know, are basically on par, you know, with men. And yet, yet you see that, you know, you still have like, pay, you know, a gender pay gap in the drinks industry, but again, just, you know, on par with just the global situation in the world. So you know, and I did realize actually, 2 years ago, when I was still working for, Eurowinegate, I launched a vermouth in the US, and I had to hire three, bartenders. It was in New York. And I asked myself, actually, you know, I wanted to have people, you know, who were embodying, you know, perfectly this vermouth. And I decided actually to go, towards, you know, three female bartenders, just because they were skilled. But at the same time, you know, I wanted just, you know, to give them a little bit more visibility, because there are just not enough visibility for women, you know, in this industry, just like, you know, the rest of the world. So I would say I'm kind of split between, yes, we need to talk about women industry, and at the same time, you know, just want to treat, you know, women just exactly as men. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does. It absolutely makes sense to me, because I feel the same way. I have to say, I felt almost a little bit guilty. I went to see Ivy Mix. You know, she's got, she did a talk at Cocktail Spirits here, and just talking about females in the industry and talking about the divide in the pay gaps and things. And I thought, oh, I feel guilty that I haven't been really thinking about this as much as I should have, or maybe as aware.
I think, you know, in the way I actually, you know, it helped best, you know, talking about women in industry is because I think that, you know, we're still, lots of people, you know, still have, you know, this stereotype of an industry that is driven, you know, by male, you know, or like, you know, an old boys school, club, sorry. So I think, you know, this is still, you know, what people, you know, have in mind, you know, when we talk about, you know, the drinks industry, whether, you know, they imagine like, you know, a the consumer, usually, you know, they imagine, you know, men actually drinking their whiskey, while actually there are more and more women drinking whiskey. I think in the US, you know, it's about 40% of women, you know, who know, you know, are amongst, you know, the whiskey drinkers. But also, you know, when you, you know, when you look globally, you know, at, like the spirits, you know, producers, on the top of these companies, you know, you have men. So I think, you know, it helps in the way that we're just, you know, changing, you know, the stereotypes, you know, we're just changing the way how people perceive, you know, the drinks industry. So we're just kind of, you know, giving a more fair image of what the industry is, because you have a lot of women actually in the industry. It's just that they're sometimes, you know, just not visible. Yeah. That's it.
Have you noticed, do you feel like there's a big difference in how women either get into the industry or are treated in the industry in France versus the U.S., and maybe even West Coast, U.S. versus East Coast, since you have a bit of experience there as well?
I would say, again, you know, it's a question not only about the drinks industry, but about the society. I remember that 10 years ago, so, you know, I moved from Paris to Cognac to join, you know, this drinks company. And I'll tell you just a funny anecdote just to show a little bit, you know, what was the industry, you know, 10 years ago. But just, you know, bear in mind that we're talking about the province, you know, the province, you know, in France. So we're not talking about, like, you know, a major city like, you know, Paris or New York. So anyway, 10 years ago when I arrived in Cognac, I had to do... I think it was an X-ray, just, you know, as I was arriving, and I was talking, you know, with the guy who was doing, you know, the X-ray of my back, and he's like, oh, so you're a newcomer in Cognac, welcome, what brings you here? And, like, almost, you know, instantly afterwards, he said, are you following your husband who works in the spirits industry? Because you have, you know, all these Cognac companies over there. And I was just baffled. I'm like, no, I actually am the one who got the job. I was hired to, you know, head the marketing and export of this company. And he was kind of shocked. He was like, oh, okay. So are you going to travel? I'm like, yes, of course. And do you have kids? Yeah, I have a son. Oh, my God, who are you going to do that? And I was like, oh, my God, no, you are. Oh, my God. No, of course. I've been doing that for the past 10 years. So, you know, it's just one example, but I think, you know, it was still, you know, emblematic and somehow still emblematic, you know, of our society in France. And, you know, it may be a little bit, you know, like an extreme example, but I think that, you know, the French society is still a little bit macho, you know, on that side.
Right.
In the U.S., I feel it's slightly different. So it's a little bit too soon, I would say, for me, you know, to speak about the differences, you know, between the East and the West Coast. I haven't really noticed any differences in terms of, you know, women acceptance, you know, in the society. But I would say that just globally, you know, when a woman, you know, goes into a bar, she's not afraid to go on her own. And even, you know, for lunchtime, you know, having, like, ordering a martini or even two, this is not something that you would see, you know, in France. You immediately, as a woman, you know, you would be perceived as, I don't know, as something that, you know, you shouldn't be perceived of.
Absolutely. As somebody who tries to do that here, you can't even get a martini at lunchtime here.
No, absolutely. Yes, that's another thing. but, you know, I remember, you know, when I started traveling, you know, on my own and visiting bars for work, you know, and being on my own and, you know, in France or, you know, in Spain or globally just, you know, in Southern Europe, you know, you always, you know, get into that situation where people ask you why you're on your own, you know, as a woman, you know, drinking in a bar or just visiting a bar. I never had this situation in the U.S. I think that, I'm not sure why actually, but I think that women are more accepted and you're not pointing out, you know, you're right. You're just a consumer or you're just a professional, you know, being part of the industry.
Do you think that not just changes between France and Europe, but over the years, do you feel like you've seen any kind of general global changes in terms of females in the industry or?
You know, I think, you know, there's a difference, you know, between reality and communication or reality and perception. And I don't have numbers, you know, to back up, you know, this thought, but I I don't think that there are more women working in this industry, or maybe slightly more because they've been encouraged and empowered because of, you know, this focus now in terms of communication. I think that, you know, there is more visibility, for instance, you know, for these women who actually work, you know, on the production side. It used to be very male-dominated, and you see now more and more female master distillers, you know, or master blenders, you know, in the rum industry. Well, the tequila industry, as far as I know, there is only one female master distiller. But I think it's, again, you know, following the global trend of, you know, the society. Like, you know, we all know that, you know, women were not necessarily attracted, you know, by the science, you know, or engineer, you know, or the math fields. And that's changing. And you see that actually being reflected, you know, in the drinks industry. You see more and more, you know, women working in labs, you know, for spirit producers. You see more master distillers. You see more technicians, you know, being women. And you see it also actually also, you know, in the export, for instance. You know, 10 years ago when I started, I was one of the few women, you know, traveling the world, you know, to represent my brands. You see it also, you see way more women brand ambassadors, you know. So I think, you know, there's definitely a growth in women representation in our industry, but it has also helped a lot to talk about that. So, you know, I think it's really both, you know, factors here.
Yeah. Well, I think it's really exciting to see more women, you know, in the production. And not just because I think, hey, we should be there too, but I think that just opens up a pool, a larger pool of talent to choose from. So, you know, you just get the best possible talent, be it men or women, but a larger pool to choose from, you know, for people making spirits or people, you know, doing these other parts of you know, other things besides being behind the bar. So I think that's very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's also, you know, brings different perspectives. I think, you know, women, you know, have a slightly different approach than men. But again, not only in the drinks industry, but I would say, you know, as far as the drinks industry goes, I'm not quite sure actually how to put it, but I think, you know, women have more, oh my gosh, I'm going, you know, to be a little bit, you know, to give, you know, some stereotypes, but I think, like, you know, maybe a different, more refined approach, you know, for instance, you know, when we talk about, like, development, you know, of liquid, for instance.
Right.
Going towards, you know, spirits that are slightly more, you know, balanced or nuanced, you know, things like that. But also, I think, you know, the fact that, you know, somehow, you know, we're maybe a little bit more sensitivity and we may see different things, you know, than men. I think, you know, it, as you were saying, you know, it just brings, you know, different perspectives and obviously just, you know, different skills, you know, on the plate. So, this is what I think.
Well, and I agree. And, you know, when you were saying you're going to bring out some stereotypes, that's another thing about this topic that kind of freaks me out a little bit, because I get so scared. I don't want to say anything that's not PC, right? I don't want to say women are a little bit more feely or maternal and men are a little bit, you know, I think, oh, I can't go there. But I think that, you know, naturally men and women are different. So I think that I should stop being so afraid to, you know, say these things or afraid of stepping in it or saying the wrong stuff and just, you know, keep going with the dialogue and hopefully we'll all learn something. Do you have any advice for women or just people in general who want to make their mark on the spirits and cocktail world?
Huh. Yeah, I would say probably, you know, more advice is global advice is not only for women. The only thing maybe that I would say, you know, for a woman is not to think, you know, not to think that because she's a woman, you know, she cannot achieve, you know, whatever she wants to. Not restraining, you know, herself because she thinks that, you know, she would not be considered the same way as a man. But that goes, you know, for every woman, I would say, not only in the drinks industry. For the drinks industry, well, my own experience, you know, so I started 10 years ago. I had another background, but, you know, this industry was somehow similar because I worked, you know, in the perfume industry. So there were, you know, similarities, but it was so different at the same time. So my approach has been to be very open-minded and listen, learn, you know, before doing anything else. So, for instance, you know, before starting working for the spirits company, I came a month before in Cognac, and I worked, you know, in the vineyards, and I worked, you know, in a distillery because I wanted to understand, you know, what I was talking about, and I wanted to put my hands, you know, in the grapes and feel, you know, all the sugar. So I would say that if you want to advance, you know, in this industry, which is an amazing industry, by the way, because it's so diverse, because you touch upon the production, you touch upon history, you touch upon communication, you touch upon so many different things, and you touch upon people as well, because it's an intimate industry. You give like liquid for people to drink, and that's a very intimate relationship, you know, with these consumers. But I would say that it's all about, you know, learning before and listening to people and just soaking up, you know, all this knowledge, because the spirits industry is very generous in that sense. It's competitive, but at the same time, it's not competitive. People are ready, you know, to open their books. They're ready, you know, to welcome you into their bars, and they talk to you. And this is a real wealth, really. It's not something that I've seen in other industries so far. So I would say just, you know, soak up everything that you can and just, and then give back. That's what I've been trying to do, you know, to thank all the people that have welcomed me so nicely into this industry. I try, you know, to give seminars, you know, as much as I can. I try to teach, you know, and I try to give back my time to these newcomers. That's a lot of advice is actually here.
But I think that's some great advice. And I think that, you know, you're somebody I look to who has been really successful in the industry. So I think that if there's anybody out there looking for advice, that's exactly the kind of advice they should be listening to. So thank you. I could ask you questions all day, but I'm pretty much running out of time for this segment. So I'm going to bring it to a close and just say thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. And for the listeners out there, I will be putting in the show notes links to the Rooster Factory so you can learn more about their brand development agency. And thanks again, Audrice. It was great talking to you.
Merci beaucoup, Forrest. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure speaking with you today.
Hi, listeners. We're here today with Ivy Mix, who is a pretty formidable presence on the cocktail scene. She's received a Tales of the Cocktail Spirited Award for the Best American Bartender. She's opened the very popular bar La Yenda in New York, and she's also co-founder of Speed Rack, which is an all-female speed competition for bartending that raises money for breast cancer research. So, Ivy, thanks for taking the time to talk to us today. How are you?
I'm great. It's very hot in New York right now, but other than that, I'm great.
Very good. Well, as I mentioned when we were communicating before the interview, I caught your talk with Lynette, the F word, here in Paris at Cocktail Spirits. I thought it was really great.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk to me a little bit about what inspired you to start talking about this issue?
Sure. So, you know, there's been a whole bunch of, being a woman in the world is a very hot topic right now, I think for many, many reasons, especially in the States with our current political climate and the election that we just had. It's a very kind of buzzword. And I think that lots of people learned a lot of stuff about femininity and feminism and what those things have in common or what they don't have in common, especially during our last political presidential election. But Lynette and I have been doing Speed Rack for the last 6 years, going into our seventh season in the States. And we really want to give a seminar about those two things, feminism and femininity, and what they are and what they aren't are. Because for a long time, we were kind of the opinion that in order to make it in the bartending industry, there was kind of this desire to make it as what you're supposed to make it as. Like, oh, I can drink like a man, or, you know, I can, like, do all these things. I can carry ice all day and I'm like strong and I'm just as competent and I'm like, I'm just going to be a dude. That's just what I'm going to do. And our argument was that women actually inherently bring things to the table that are beneficial in and of themselves. So if you look at different industries and different markets and different, like, quote unquote, inherently feminine traits, these things can actually do really good things for businesses, whether they be a bar or otherwise. And we also had a desire to, I had a really strong desire. Two years ago at Tales of the Cocktail, I did a quick seminar on kind of similar issues, but more financially speaking. Like, I looked at the gender gap index and GDP of different countries, looking at what happens when you hire women. Because having it be that women is such a hot topic in the world and in our industry, it can become a very emotional conversation. And I find the arguments to be kind of like, why didn't you include me? And what about me? And it's not tactile enough. It's not factual. And the whole, like, kumbaya, let's hold hands and all get along thing was getting a little trite. And then we wanted to put some facts and some studies behind what we were talking about. So that's where the study came from.
Do you feel like there's a difference in the way men versus women respond to your seminar?
Not really. I mean, I think there's, you know, I mean, it's such a crazy topic, you know, men, women, or other, like, who, there's so many different ways that people are deciding to identify right now. I think that's fantastic. And I think that because people are very conscious of this, you kind of have to be open-minded when you hear stuff like this. And if you're not open-minded, then we're probably not going to reach you anyway. But, like, Alex was actually the one who asked for Tania, was the one who asked me if I would speak at POR. And I was like, well, Lynette and I should just do it together because, you know, this is what we do. We do women right. stuff, you know. And he was very excited with it. And Jimmy Han, too, came up to me. He was like, that was really great. I'm excited to see what happens when it goes online. You know, POR has been putting their seminars out online. And I think that once it reaches more than those a couple hundred people that were in the room, we'll really get to see the impact and the, you know, the openness people have to it. So I think that would be really interesting.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, that's the kind of, you know, it's just the way things get traction these days. So it'll be something that would be easy to share, easy to watch. You know, it's not always easy to get all the way down to Cocktail Spirits and choose which seminar you're going to watch, but this makes it accessible,
right.
So much more
exactly.
accessible. After I watched The F Word, I actually picked up the book Lean In and read that because I have
Great.
To, it's a difficult topic. I mean, obviously I'm a woman and, you know, I don't think about it very often. Now I feel like I should think about it more. It just feels super complicated. Maybe I'm overcomplicating
mm-hmm.
it. But also, you know, in the book she talks a lot about, it's not just sort of about allowing women to step out of their expected roles, but also men and let them feel comfortable staying home as a child caretaker. So is that
yeah.
something that you think in this instance, do we need to talk about really just letting everybody feel like they can do whatever they want to do regardless of gender or how they, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not just a women's issue. Is it an everybody issue? I'm looking for answers and I just feel freaked out every time I talk about this because I feel like I'm going to say the wrong thing and go the wrong way. So.
And it's definitely I think it's definitely something to be conscious of because people are super, super sensitive about it right now. It's like, you know, what am I going to say? Am I going to send you over there, guy? Because you don't have any, like this one guy was like, well, I don't have any female bartenders at my bar. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe you should try. You know? He's like, I have tried. They just don't apply. So he was very sensitive to it. I'm like, okay, I mean, he's like a nice guy. Just the first step of the solving something is just being aware of the problem that you have. Then, you know, solve it.
Yeah.
If you want to. And if you don't, it's, you know, kind of to you. But, you know, I do think that we need to be conscientious of gender roles and, you know, who is doing what job. I mean, like the whole idea of hiring a cocktail waitress is something that's, you know, no one ever talks about to be glorified bartenders in this biz, not cocktail waitresses or anyone else who gets to work in a bar. but you know, we hire men and women to be on the floor at my bar, you know, like this is what we do because it's a job, and yeah. people can be good at in different things in different ways. And I think that there are, you know, in that, in the book, you said you read Own It?
No, I haven't. So should I read that? Lean In is what I read. Lean In.
Lean In is good. Own It is fantastic, too. She talked a lot about, like, you know, gender roles and child rearing, and how that's a big problem. I mean, France is not that big of a problem. In France, everyone gets, like, months off
yeah.
to have a baby, and it's like paternal leave and maternal leave. But in the U.S., you get 2 weeks as a woman after you have a child, and it's crazy. And as men didn't even get anything, which is also crazy. So I think that there are certain ways that we all need to think about, you know, certain jobs that are not the way that necessarily people think they have to be. Like, there's definitely, you know, men can stay home and watch babies. Men can work on the floor and carry cocktail trays. Women can bartend. Women can bar back. You know, they can do all these things. I think that frequently people just wouldn't entertain that idea. Now I think people slowly are.
Yeah. Well, and I think you touched on something earlier. Just awareness is the first step. So even for me, it's something that I honestly really never thought about. I don't think about I'm a woman in this industry, but, you know, it's, again, going back to the facts that you're talking about, a lot of it for me is the pay gap. To me, that's like a glaring proof that, wow, well, things aren't equal. So yeah, I think we're getting there. But speaking about, so you're speaking about France and leave, that brings me around to something else I wanted to talk to you about. I know that you have worked internationally. You lived and worked in Guatemala, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And have you worked elsewhere outside of the U.S.?
Yeah, I am all over Latin America, mostly just Guatemala, and then also Peru and Argentina.
Okay. Do you feel like there are differences between, I guess, the women's role in the bar industry there versus in the U.S., or even from what you've seen in the travels and elsewhere? What do you think?
Yeah, totally. I mean, down there, it's, you know, it's different because there's a different, like, what kind of bar are we talking about? Are we talking about, like, just a dive bar or a, you know, a beer bar? Are we talking about, like, a higher-end cocktail bar? Or, like, what exactly are we talking about? And certainly in, there are women working in bars everywhere because, generally speaking, if you have a young woman behind your bar, beautiful, people are probably going to go in there and spend money.
Sure.
Right? And yeah. That's just kind of, which is it's also reality. Not necessarily a great thing. Yeah. Like, woman is sex object. Not the reason to be hiring women. You know, that's not right. But I think that, you know, like, when I worked in Guatemala, which is mostly where I worked in Latin America, it was probably split down the middle, men and women, but it was also, like, a different thing. It wasn't necessarily, like, the safest political environment. And, like, the answer was like, oh, are you going to lock up the bar alone? Mm. And, you know, who's to say, like, if there's a dude there rather than me, you know, who's to say that that's going to be, like, make or break a violent situation? But there was a whole different set of things that seemed relevant at the time than they do necessarily when I'm bartending in Brooklyn or when I go to, like, Shoreditch or, you know, or Le Marais or anything like that. It seems like a little, it's a little bit slightly different in those ways. But yeah, I think that it's changing and there are more women, and I'm going to speak just specifically from, like, kind of higher end cocktail bar, like, career bartending scene. But there's a lot more women now than there were before. And I think that in different places that aren't the States, where our cocktail revolution kind of boomed around this idea of the speakeasy and pre-prohibition, and there was this whole idea of what a bartender was supposed to be, and that bartender was a mixologist, harkening back to, like, Jerry Thomas, where, you know, there's, like, suspenders and a mustache, and a woman doesn't fit that image.
Right.
So it was hard for a while for women to be like, hire me, and be like, no, you're not Jerry Thomas. Like, no, I'm not. And neither are they, but that's okay. And I feel like Europe didn't do that as much. Like, they, by the time the cocktail boom really started booming in Europe, I feel like the speakeasy thing had kind of, like, come and gone. And even if people were doing speakeasies, they weren't trying to do it in this, like, in that way.
Yeah.
As much. Like, in the speedbacks we've done over there, it was, like, when we first started in the States, it was a little bit, meow, meow. And when we did, when it was the first time we did the UK, it was relatively, like, the women came out. I was like, great. Fantastic.
Well, no, speaking of Speed Rack, I know that my listeners in the U.S. would be familiar with it, but I don't know if a lot of people here in France know what it's about. Can you talk to us a little bit about what it is?
Sure. So Speed Rack is an all-female bartending competition and breast cancer charity. We have been around, we started our seventh year in the States. We do tours in the States, kind of like how, like, bands go on, like, a tour. We do the same thing. We hit 8 U.S. cities, and then we do a U.S. final at the end of the year. And it's fun. It's we also go to different places. We've started going to the U.K. about 4 years ago. We've done the U.K., Canada, Singapore. We're looking at expanding to actually Paris, France, hopefully this year, Australia, maybe Shanghai. But it's essentially in essence, a platform for women to stand on in what we perceive to be a male-dominated industry, to be like, hey, we're here, you should hire us and give us jobs because we're really good and fast. So the idea is that we think that if you're a good bartender, you should be able to make the drinks on your menu quickly so people don't have to wait forever, so you make more money, the bar makes more money. But you also need to know more than just how to make, like, that raspberry mojito on your menu. You should also know how to make a slew of classic cocktails just in case someone doesn't want that raspberry mojito. They want, like, a Manhattan or a Negroni or a Daiquiri or things more obscure like a Jungle Bourbon or a Bensonhurst or stuff like that. So the competition girls get up, they compete head-to-head, and 4 judges call out 4 random classic cocktails, and they have to go head-to-head making them. And the judges judge them, and whoever comes out on top with the lowest time, with the lowest amount of time penalties, goes on to the next round. It's kind of like the World Cup or something, like round robin bracketed style system until the winner goes on and wins.
Love it. Yeah, I've heard a lot about it from friends in the States and some of my girlfriends in Seattle. I know they get out there and help for it. So, I haven't been to one, so I'm really excited to hear that maybe we'll see one in Paris. So please keep me up to date on that so I can spread the word and come down and get involved. So that will be
awesome.
Very cool.
Yeah, I just wrote an email about it this morning. So
very good. So I'll kind of wrap up here now because I know that I don't want to take all of your time this morning. But I'm just going to say, I think basically the very short soundbite takeaway that I took away from the F word after listening to you ladies was to be aware and be kinder. You know, maybe there's more to it than that, but is there anything else that you want to share with our listeners that you think is important to get across?
Yeah, you know, I think our big thing when we were going through the seminar, and something we learned a lot about, was this idea of, like, feminism and femininity. I know I've already said that, but the reason why we called it the F word is that they're not negative traits. Like, it's not a bad thing to be a woman, and it's not a bad thing to, you know, throw like a girl or have a girly drink. There's all these inherently kind of negative ways that we don't even realize that we're being negative, but, like, no one's ever like, ooh, that's a girly drink, and no one's like, that's awesome. No one ever says that in a good way. It's always like, ew, my drink is girly and pink, and I don't want it. And I think that these things kind of affect the way that we work and the way that we think, and a bunch of stuff. And I do think it's changing, but I think the number one thing is, doesn't matter what industry you're in, the F word is not a bad thing, and you need to embrace it, because in the end of the day, it's going to make your business more successful. I mean, that's what our seminar is all about. Like, look at all these different markets and look at all these different things. If you take women and or just feministic traits, let's just call it, just like, who needs a gender, just feministic traits, and put those into your business and embrace those qualities, you're going to have a more diverse and effective business. So you should do that.
Absolutely.
You know? It's just kind of a no-brainer.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And one other thing I thought about too is, you know, I feel like this is not just a message that we're sending out to the men, like, hey guys, you know, treat us the same. I think that women need to take responsibility too, because, you know, I'm one of those who's guilty of saying, oh, I don't want the girly drinks. And, you know, I have forced myself to redefine my perception of certain phrases and the, you know, the things that I mean.
Oh,
and,
totally.
You know, how I'm doing it. So I am first to step up and say, wow, I'm not perfect here. I've got some work to do as well. So
tis the time. This world needs more kindness. That is
no kidding.
For sure.
No kidding. Well, Ivy, thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Okay, well, thanks so much for including me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
And now it's cocktail time. So for this episode, I thought it might be kind of fun to go with the Pink Lady. Pink Lady is a classic cocktail, and what you'll need is 1.5 ounces of gin, 1/2 ounce of applejack, juice from 1/2 lemon, a fresh egg white, and a few dashes of grenadine. Now, I've probably said this around here before, but it's much better if you use homemade grenadine, which is pretty simple to make. It's basically pomegranate juice mixed with equal parts sugar. You can add some different kind of orange blossom water to add a little bit more depth. And you can look on Google to find lots of recipes about this. I usually use the Jeffrey Morgenthaler one. So I really highly recommend that you do that because it makes a lot of difference in the flavor. Once you've got that sorted out, here's what you do. You take your fresh egg white, you put it in a cocktail shaker, and you're going to put that in there by itself, and you're just going to dry shake that for a little while so it gets a little foamy. And then you add the rest of the ingredients, the juice of the lemon, the 1/2 ounce of applejack, 1.5 ounces of gin, and a couple dashes of grenadine. You continue shaking it up, and then you strain into your chilled cocktail glass, and you can garnish it with a cherry. And regardless of its name, this is a very respectable drink, and it can be enjoyed by both men and women. Cheers! So it was really enjoyable for me to talk to these three ladies and get their takes on this topic. And as it might be evident from these recordings, and it is to me when I re-listen to them, that I'm still sorting out my feelings and my ideas on the best practices in this regard. But I think the best thing we can all do is be open-minded and kind to each other and keep a dialogue going. So let's at least try to start with that. In other news, if you didn't already hear about this, I'm really excited to announce that we have finally put out our iOS app, and it's associated with a blog. It's a guide to cocktail bars in Paris. It's got a lot of cool features. It's got a geolocalized map, so you can always find whatever's closest to you. There's lots of filters. You can filter by good for groups, romantic, weekend brunch, all kinds of things. We indicate which are our favorites, and it's free to download through December. We'd like to get some people on there using it so we can get some feedback and make some more changes, as we'd like to add some more functionality at the end of the year. So download it now. Go to iTunes. It's called Paris Cocktails. You might find it quickest if you look for Paris Cocktails, Forest Collins. If it doesn't come up the first one, keep scrolling down because we're new on there, so we're not popping up first with those keywords, but we are there. And otherwise, as usual, we'd like to thank Sun River for the music, Emily Dilling for her editing and producing, and don't forget that she has her own podcast, Prairie Paysanne. And if you have questions, comments, or ideas for future episodes, there's an email link in the show notes, and or you can leave them in the comment box for the episode. And of course, we'll put lots of other links to all of our guests on today's shows in the show notes as well. And until next time, cheers!